Well, amen to that. You know, here at Landmark, we don't only preach the Bible, we sing the Bible. And I appreciate the choir special this morning, and then the special. That's all the Word of God, amen? I want you to go to the third book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's not the one that you normally think about as a devotional book, but it's a very important book. It's a foundational book. And actually, if you check it out, you've got God speaking more directly, more times in the book of Leviticus than any other book in the Bible. And we want to talk to you a little bit on chapter 25 this morning of the book of Leviticus. So go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And if we start together, maybe we'll finish together, okay? Some of you got no sense of humor. You're in the wrong place. Leviticus chapter 25, we're going to start reading in about verse 8 and read down through about verse 17. I'm going to touch on a subject this morning called, I'm going to call it this, the law of the Jubilee. And you'll find the word Jubilee here in the text as we begin to read verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shall thou come, get it right, then shall thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. I just want to drop this in. This is the statement on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And if you go outside that door right there and look on the wall just before you leave the building, you'll see the picture of the Liberty Bell and the Ten Commandment rock that we placed down in our county seat. And very close to being what is duplicated up there in Philadelphia. And here's the verse. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Unto all the inhabitants thereof it shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou shalt sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of the years of the Jubilee, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. According to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruit doth he sell unto thee, ye shall not therefore oppress one another. But thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. Now let me tell you what we just read. We just read the government of Israel's rules, how they were supposed to deal with each other. And how that after a period of time in their ceremonies of years, they counted. And 7 years times 7 was 49. And the 50th year was a special year. It was called the Jubilee year. And here was the rules that they went by. You see, what the picture here was that on the Jubilee year, everybody that had lost a possession, everybody that had sold a farm or had been foreclosed on, they could get it back. It was a time that stuff would be returned on that 50th year. They could get it back. I remember here years ago, We were talking some in the news about playing music backwards, and some of the dope people were putting in little secret messages into the rock beat where if you played it backwards, you could get a little negative message in there. And I remember some of our high school and junior high kids, they'd go around the campus here saying, you know what you get back if you play country music backwards? What? Well, you get your truck back. You get your wife back. You get it. And they're making a lot of fun of it. I understand what they were saying. There was all those sad stories they made the songs out of. So you play it backwards, all this stuff you lost, you got it back. But in a real sense, that is part of the law of the Jubilee that Israel lived under. And God set these rules for them. And it might be contrary to our thinking today, but what God established, he never did unestablish. And still on the whole big plan of God, it is yet to be and is being and has been fulfilled. Let me talk to you about it some this morning. In the theme here of my message this morning, I want to examine this law of the Jubilee and show you how you might not realize it, but is a lot of it still being fulfilled today. And finally, it will finalize in the big picture of one day being a time that God has planned to restore everything. Let me deal with it just a little bit. To begin with, there's three words I'd use in talking about the law of the Jubilee. I'll talk about the return, I'll talk about the restoration, and I'll talk about what it all pictures, which is redemption. Redemption. Now, the return is the 50th year. In that year, they were told not to plant, not to sow, not to reap, that it was a holy year. The 50th year. It was to be hallowed to God. And it says here in verse 13 that every man is to return to his possession. Now, if you understand that law a little bit, as you go through the Old Testament, you'll understand some things. For instance, do you know the story of Naboth's vineyard and King Ahab wanting it? King Ahab was wrong. He wasn't supposed to have Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth was standing by the law of God. And old King Ahab had him killed and possessed his vineyard. But he was obeying the law of the Jubilee. And the truth is that that law was the law of return. Return. You know, it's primary to Israel dealing with the returning of the Jewish nation to the land and to Jerusalem. And that has been big in the news. If you know anything about world history, if you know anything about the news and politics and everything else for the last number of years, you will know that Jerusalem is always in the limelight. And the discussion and the fight and the controversy is whether or not the Jews had a right to return to the land and to the city of Jerusalem. And history of nations. You know, we think about nations coming, rising, going. You read the book of Daniel. You read the four kingdoms of the world and how they rose up and how they fell. And we say, well, nations rise. They are overthrown or there's a war and somebody else takes over. Now, wait a minute. That's what we look at. But God is looking at something bigger than that. And the rise and falls of nations. You read the book of Daniel. He sets who he wants to on the throne. He is in charge. And we look and say, it's all random. It's just happening by accident. Oh, no. God is still in charge. He is still in charge. He is still the God of history. And the return primarily deals with Israel and with them coming back to Jerusalem. Now, God uses men. You remember the story. If you read the book of Daniel, how the three Hebrew boys was brought in, how the king's sons was kidnapped, as it were, and taken to Babylon, how the three Jew boys went into the fire and all that business, that's when they were all taken into captive under Babylon. We remember, because it was predicted here in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, how long they would stay in Babylon. They would stay how long? 70 years, remember? And then at the end of 70 years, God raised up a man by the name of Cyrus. He's called Cyrus the Great in history. And it was Cyrus the Great that God raised up to give a proclamation to send or to allow the Jews to go back to their land. He gave a decree. You can read about it in Daniel. You can read about it in the book of Ezra. How he gave a decree that the temple could be rebuilt. King Cyrus the Great is still honored greatly among the Jewish people today. And because of that very act, it was after 70 years of captivity that Cyrus the Great was raised up and brought back. The Jews were able to come back. Now, something unusual about Cyrus, he was predicted in the Bible, and I'll flip to it. You probably don't have it marked. Isaiah chapter 44 and 45. And listen to this. God told who he would be, what his name would be, and what he would do 250 years before he was born, and it's recorded right here in the book of Isaiah. When he was born, Isaiah had already written this. Can you imagine mama going down to kindergarten and saying to little Cyrus, come, I want to show you your name in the Bible and what you're going to do? No, we can't imagine that, but she could have, because here it is in Isaiah 44 and 45. Listen to it. Here it is. That saith of Cyrus, says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Then it goes on into chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings. That was old Belshazzar in the book of Daniel. His knees knocked when the hand began to rattle on the wall. Remember? To open before him the levered gates. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I'll open the gates of brass. I'm dropping on down. And he says, verse 4, for Jacob, that's Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Your history shows it was 250 years. This fellow's born, but he was predicted 250 years before he did. What did it say he'd do? It said he would let the Jews go back, that the city would be rebuilt, that the temple would be rebuilt. Did Cyrus do that? Yes, he did. And that's why he's still held in a high, honorable place in the history of Israel today. In fact, after the election of President Trump, the rabbis and the Jews in Israel, and I'll say a little more about that in a minute, they had a coin minted. I have it at home. It's in one of my drawers at home somewhere. Anyway, I showed it to the church, so they remember I showed it to you on a Sunday night. It's kind of about the size of half a dollar. It's got a little bit of gold in it and a lot of brass in it. It's got two images on it. It's got the image of the historical king Cyrus, called Cyrus the Great, that released the Jews and let them go back after 70 years of captivity. And it's got his image, and they've got pictures of him today. In fact, his tomb is still around today. You can go to his tomb, and on the inscription on the side of the tomb, it says, I am Cyrus. Yeah, it was one of his opening statements quite often in history. I am Cyrus. And that coin shows his image, and it shows the image of Donald Trump after the election. Israel is saying, God raised us up another Cyrus. So I don't like him, then your argument's with God. God raised up Cyrus the Great to do some things. There's a good chance he's raised up Donald Trump to do some things. Help yourself. The temple coin reflects that. There's been other men God raised up. Anybody ever hear of a president named Harry Truman? Sure you did. They say, well, he was a cussing Baptist, so I didn't know there was any other kind. I'm joking with you, but most of us did before we got saved, and I've never been around you when you hit your thumb with a hammer. I'm not sure you got over it yet. All right, I'm playing with you some. I'm just simply saying this. Old Harry Truman was a Cyrus. Actually, it is interesting what he did, and he did it under the law of the Jubilee. You see, after World War I and II, the Jews were dispersed. They were scattered. Harry Truman came upon the scene and Israel came back in 47 and in 48, and Harry Truman, leading the strongest nation in the world, America, leading the world kingdom of what we would call America today, the leading one, and Harry Truman recognized Israel to come back into the land, into the area of Jerusalem, and to come back in 1947 and 48, and preachers were on fire preaching about this because they saw it as a biblical sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And God used, raised up, as it were, a Cyrus. And an interesting thing, just before Harry Truman died, he said, "I am Cyrus." Now, he didn't think he was reincarnated, but he was saying, "I'm doing that work. I'm doing that work." And it is interesting how God used him. 70 years later, remember Cyrus, and he let the Jews go after 70 years, Book of Daniel. It's an interesting thing, 70 years from Harry Truman to Donald Trump, exactly. All right, you can get mad and leave if you want to. You miss lunch if you do. Listen to me a minute. God's not dead. Just like he had a plan in the Old Testament and he raised up men to fulfill that plan, he can still do that today. We better be wise to that, folks. We're not living in a vacuum. God is still in charge. And the enemy is not going to win. They may think they are, but they're not. And he raised up a man by the name of Harry Truman. By the way, we're joking about Harry Truman cussing. He probably used the D word a few times. That was about it. I think he told one fellow he would beat him up because he was criticizing his daughter who played the piano and apparently didn't play it too good. But anyway, that guy got some news articles because he said something to him. But Harry Truman was a Bible student. You didn't know that. By the time he was 14 years old, he'd read the Bible through several times. And when Israel came back at 1947-48, Harry Truman contacted a Bible-believing preacher known as the Texas Cyclone by the name of J. Frank Norris, who pastored the two largest congregations in America at that time, one in Fort Worth, Texas, and one in Detroit, Michigan. And he contacted J. Frank and he said, "Should I recognize Israel? What does the Bible say?" And J. Frank wrote him a letter, and I got a copy of it in my office in there, and it said, "Yes, that's what God wants you to do. Recognize Israel. That's the prediction that's to be fulfilled." And so he did. And so in 1948, the Jews came back, May 14th. All right, I can't get into too much detail. But 1947-48, Harry Truman was used like Cyrus to recognize and to sanction Israel. In our time, 70 years later, kind of interesting how that parallels with the 70 years of captivity in Daniel, don't it? 70 years later, a man has come on the scene and has issued a proclamation. And that proclamation would fit with the 50th year of Jubilee in 2017. I'm talking about current stuff. Jubilee 2017, President Trump issued a proclamation that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And we're going to move our embassy. Boy, you want to know what stirred up the devil? That's what stirred him up. If you want to know what stirred up all the demons and all the witches in Washington, D.C., that's it. I mean, there was a spasm in hell when Donald Trump did that. But it's Bible. And he did it under the law of the Jubilee at the exact same time. That's too much to be a coincidence, folks. God's in the picture. God's in the picture. I'm telling you something. By the way, I don't have much time, but if you compared Harry Truman and Trump's elections, both of them were revolutionary. Harry Truman was not supposed to win the election. The headlines come out in the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune, "John Dewey wins." But he didn't. Harry Truman won. That election upset them, not as much as this last one did. But they weren't neither one of them supposed to win. Nobody thought Donald Trump could win, but he did. But because God wanted him to do something. You see, that law of the Jubilee, it always started with the shofar being blown. That's the way it started off. The priest went out and he blew the shofar. And anybody want to guess what President Trump's name means? Check it out. Well, it's in front of you all the time. Trump, the trumpet of the Lord. It actually means, here's what it actually means. It means he who sounds the trumpet. Well, it's been sounding. And oh, what a disturbance it's caused. And what a bunch of dirty cockroaches have come out of the woodwork. But the trumpet is still sounding. I don't know. It'll stop when God says stop it. You see, the law of the Jubilee is the return, and the law is restore. Read it right there in the text. Restore. Every man restored to his possession. In recent news, we moved the embassy. We set the devils off, no doubt about it. When he said, okay, we're going to restore the Golan Heights back to Israel. We're going to identify Jerusalem. We're going to restore it back as the capital. And all hell seemed to break loose. But that's the law of the Jubilee, restoration, restoration. But in the big spiritual picture, the law of the Jubilee is not only return, not only restore, but it's redeem, redeem, redemption. You see, all through the Old Testament, every time that sacrificial lamb was offered, it was offered to redeem, to pay a price, to shed its blood. It was picturing the day of redemption when Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, God's Son, would leave heaven's glory, come to this old sin-cursed world, lay down his life, shed his blood. What was the purpose? To redeem me, to buy me back, to redeem you. You know, when God came in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve had sinned, they had lost a bunch of stuff. They lost eternal life. They brought death in. Oh, it was not a good time. And God, remember, killed the animals and took the skins and made them clothing. There was a picture there. He shed innocent blood of those animals to make a covering for sinful man. One day he shed the innocent blood of his lamb, God's Son, to make a robe of righteousness for me that had no righteousness, to cover me. I want to tell you, that's what he made for you and I. That's a picture of redemption. And this act here, this law of the Jubilee, was to buy back, to redeem. The sacrificial lamb pointed to that. All that we lost in Eden, we get back one day under the law of the Jubilee. I don't know if you quite get where I'm going here, but Jesus received the death penalty for us. And we have a real enemy. I don't know about you, but I've seen death separate some loved ones. That's an enemy. My mom, my dad, others I could name, death came one day. It's an enemy. The Bible calls it the last enemy. It's a great enemy. It really is. But the law of the Jubilee one day is going to redeem me from sin and its penalty of death. Bought back by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that the law of the Jubilee is personal to you. Have you realized that God wants to buy you back to him? Or when you were young and innocent, you never thought your life might turn out like it has. But if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you something about your life. You're not too happy with it. You're not doing too well. You say, well, I'm doing all right. No. You're incomplete and you know it. You need to be bought back to your maker, bought back to the one that loved you and died for you, bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the innocent one, the innocent lamb that was shed for you and I. You know, the truth of the law of the Jubilee is redemption. I can come back. I can have it restored. I can get all that I lost in Adam. I can get all that I lost in Adam to, I want somebody to talk to that young lady for me later. Look back up here. Look back up here. The devil did that to get some of your mind on that. Hey, folks, we're in a real thing here. A real tug of war with the devil. Real tug of war. He don't want your soul to be bought back. He don't want you to be redeemed. He don't want you to know you can have eternal life because Jesus shed his blood for your sins. The law of Jubilee, boy, what a Jubilee it'll be when Jesus comes back. Yeah, I'll see my loved ones again. They knew the Lord Jesus before they passed away. They were already redeemed, and we'll meet the redeemed on the other side. And thank God for the law of Jubilee that he's going to fulfill. See, this earth is also going to be bought back. Oh, yeah, the curse is going to be lifted. It's going to be the day of Jubilee when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom on planet earth. Folks, I want to say to you, God's still in charge. And all the bad you see today and all that you can't explain today, the Lord knows all about it. He knows all about it. You see, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to place your soul under the law of Jubilee. I couldn't show you for time's sake, but if you were to go to the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, and then you go all the way through the Bible, the book of Revelation we're teaching in Sunday school, and you go to the last three chapters of the book, guess what you have? You have the law of the Jubilee fulfilled. All we lose in the garden, we gain back at the end. Total circle, restored, bought back. You understand what I'm saying to you? The garden had the tree of life in it. Read the book of Revelation that has the tree of life in it at the end. All the way back. Oh, Adam and Eve was expelled from the garden. But we're brought back. That's the law of the Jubilee, the law of restoration. I've only touched the subject here a little bit, but you ought to see the very divine hand of God Almighty, and he wants to buy you back. And he gave his son to buy you back. Yet you can say yes or no to it. You can receive Christ. You can reject him. I challenge you this morning. Leave that seat. As I give an invitation under the authority of God's book. Invite you to come receive Jesus. And tell you I received him. Tell you all these people, many around you received him. I'm telling you that what you need. You need to put yourself under the law of the Jubilee. And let your soul, the one that Jesus died for on the cross, come back to him. Be restored in him. I pray you will this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I've been redeemed. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus loved me and died for me. Can you say that with the uplifted hand? I know it. Oh, I thank God I'd lift my hand because I well remember when I could not lift my hand. As our hands go down and I ask the question to the rest of the crowd, do you care for your soul? Would you be willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be your Redeemer today? I'm going to pray in just a moment. Would you lift that hand and just say, preacher, think about me when you pray. I won't come to you. I don't know your name. I wouldn't come to you. But I know if you don't know Jesus, you're not redeemed. And the law of the Jubilee will never apply to you. You'll never be brought back. You'll never be restored. That's what Jesus offers you this morning. Are you hearing you say, preacher, I care for my soul. Have me in mind when you pray. Would you slip that hand up right now? Would you do it? Anywhere in the building. Yes, thank you. And others, thank you. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've just touched on a great subject. And Lord, I know it takes the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to take a truth like this and make it clear in minds and in hearts. And I pray for that in this moment. Lord, I have no power to do anything except present your word. And Father, right here today, it could be a Jubilee time for someone that would say, I want to be restored. I want to be bought back. I want my name written in heaven. I pray they'd come this morning as we sang a verse and invite them. I pray you'd speak to them and draw them. But Lord, we know you give choices to man. You let men make choices and then suffer the consequences or rejoice in the consequences of those choices. I pray you'd bless the invitation this morning to come to Christ, to be redeemed, to place themselves, willingly place themselves under the law of the Jubilee. Let it be a Jubilee in their heart today of coming to Jesus, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me right here and say, "Preacher, I'll receive Christ. I'll come to him." Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
Will you come? Will you come?
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. What God's asked you to do, will you do it right now? Invitation's still open. Is the Lord speaking to you about it? Are you under the law of the Jubilee? Are you restored in Christ? The timing on what I was just touching on this morning, how God raises up men. Do I think Donald Trump realizes God was using him? Probably not. Harry Truman, did he know God was using him? Probably not, but God was. No, he didn't write their names in the Bible like he did Cyrus 250 years before he was born. But he used them in the timing that we're living in. 2017, President Trump took office. 2017 was the 50th year. It was the Jubilee. He issued a proclamation in his first year concerning moving the embassy, concerning giving the Golan Heights back to Israel. Cyrus the Great, way before him, in his first year, issued a proclamation. After 70 years of captivity, sending the Jews back. Interesting, folks. Too much to be coincidence. God is still alive. He's still having his will. There's a real warfare going on in America over our very soul today. It's whether we're going to sell out to God or the devil. Well, we're teaching the book of Revelation in Sunday school, and I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. I know what happens to the devil, and I sure don't want to be on his side. I hope you're not. I hope you've made a choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that loved you and died for you. And that's what it's all about today. That's what it's all about. We're going to share with you in just a moment some of these that have come, but I kind of feel led, Brother Bert, for you to lead just one more verse of invitation. Oh, I've always had such a great fear somebody was so close to come, and I just didn't give them that last chance. I want to make sure I don't do that. Is this for you? Is this because you're here? You might even be a first-time visitor with us. Don't matter. Might have been here many times. Don't matter. What does matter? Are you under the law of the Jubilee, under the law of redemption? Have you been restored? All that you lost in the first Adam, have you been restored in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus? You can leave that seat. Come and receive him this morning. This is the last verse. Will you come? Thank you. We'll let you be seated and share some with you here. Had a number come, and we'll share some of this. We have Serge Celestin. Did I say that close? Come on up here and stand with us, Serge. He's making a public profession of faith this morning. Brother Condon has shared the plan of salvation with him. He's received Christ as his Savior. So we rejoice with Serge, and we'll receive him as candidate for baptism. Some of these others, Anna Lindbergh Grupo, did I say that right? Is that the way you say it? All right. She's so scared she don't know how I said it.
Yeah.
Say it for us.
My name is Anna Lindbergh Grupo.
That was pretty close. Yeah. She's received Christ and going to follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. Amen. And then we have Gary, how you say your last name?
Yulo,
Gary, stand up here with us. And he's coming rededicating his life this morning. And he's been visiting with us, and we've been glad to have him. I have a motion, show of hands, and so carried, as I stated. All right. All right, we'll let Anna go around for baptism. Ladies will go with her. And I think, Serge, you're going to talk a little further with Brother Condon about that? Okay. Let y'all be seated, and then we'll call you back up here if I can remember to a little bit. And we're so glad these have come. Amen. All right. Shouldn't be but just a little bit here on baptism. And I almost asked the question. That would not be a good question, I guess. Almost asked the question, how many folks been to church and never seen a baptism? Don't raise your hand. You'd be surprised. Say, how you know? Because I talk to people and they're scared to death of getting baptized. Shouldn't be. It's what the Lord told us to do, amen? And it pictures what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it's identifying with him. All right, Brother Burton, you're going to lead us in something as they get ready for baptism.
185 in your hymn books, 185. One of Fanny Crosby's beautiful hymns. You think the fact that she was blind from infancy, but when she gets to heaven, she wants to see her Savior first of all. She'll know him by the print of the nails in his hand. 185. When my life's work is ended, I cross the swelling tide. When the height and
glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know.
Jesus Christ, and in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death. Raise them all in the newness of life.
All right, Serge, let me have you and Brother Gary, y'all step back to the front right here and give the folks a chance to come by and shake hands with you. Let's all stand. Would you do that? All right, Brother Parsons, you want to grab the mic and dismiss us in prayer, please?
Let's pray together this morning. Dear Jesus, we do thank you for your many blessings, God. I do thank you for the year of Jubilee in my life. And I do thank you, Lord, for just these men that have come this morning and this young lady that's baptized, God. Thank you for that. And I thank you for the time that we've been in your house, God, and heard from your word. I pray that now you'd give us safety, bless us, God, and bring us back tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.